It is 10 minutes before the top of the hour. Time for our weekly segment, The Explainer.
I don't understand.
The Explainer.
Okay, this week's question, full disclosure, actually comes, we put it out on our social media channels, obviously, but this one comes from one of my friends from university, Don Sullivan, and he wrote in, have aliens visited Earth? We have one of the foremost experts in the world here to answer that question and help us understand what actually goes into answering that question. Avi Loeb is the Frank B. Baird Jr. Professor of Science at Harvard. He's also the head of the Galileo Project, and he's with us live. Hi, Professor Loeb. Great to have you here.
Thanks for having me. It's a great pleasure.
Oh, I appreciate you making the time. So the question, very bluntly, was, have aliens visited Earth? My first question to you is, what is your sense of the likelihood of life beyond Earth?
Oh, the likelihood is very high. We tend to think that we are special and unique, and we started by arguing that we are at the center of the universe. We now know that's not the case. And I argue that we are unlikely to be at the intellectual center of the universe because we know of hundreds of billions of planets like the Earth at roughly the same distance from stars like the Sun in the Milky Way galaxy alone. And most of them formed billions of years before the Sun. There was plenty of time for other civilizations to be far more advanced than we are. And we just need to search for them. The signal may not be so easy to detect. They might not want us to detect it easily because they are worried about predators. And we were looking for radio signals for 70 years. That's just like waiting for a phone call. Nobody may call us when we are waiting because nobody appreciates the fact that we feel lonely. There are better ways to search for technological signatures. And one of them is to look for objects near Earth that may have arrived from interstellar space.
And what what is the science on that at this point?
So only over the past decade, astronomers discovered objects from outside the solar system. The first one that was reported was actually the size of a football field. It passed near Earth, and it looked very weird because it was most likely flat in its shape. It had very extreme shape. And moreover, it was pushed away from the Sun by some mysterious force without evaporating, without shedding any mass. So it was not the rocket effect that was pushing it. And then another object roughly the size of a watermelon was discovered actually four years earlier on January 2014 by U.S. government satellites, and it appeared as a meteor. It collided with Earth at a speed that did not allow it to be bound by gravity to the Sun. It came from outside the solar system. And we actually, I led an expedition to the Pacific Ocean to collect materials from this object, and we found a composition that looks different from solar system materials.
What does that tell
you? It tells us so far that it's probably from outside the solar system, but we don't know the nature of this object. So we are planning another expedition, hopefully in 2025. It will cost $6.5 million, so we just started fundraising. We need a supporter that will fund it. We have already reserved a ship, and we have the machinery planned. So hopefully within a year we'll know better what the object was like because we want to find bigger pieces of it. And then you have also the entire subject of unidentified anomalous phenomena that the U.S. government talks about, the Director of National Intelligence. And at Harvard University, we built an observatory that monitors the sky all the time, and we're using machine learning software to figure out which objects are out there. And we are building two copies of this observatory, one in Colorado and another one in Pennsylvania. So hopefully, again, within a year, we'll know better if there are any unusual objects that are not from this Earth in our sky.
And how do you ascertain, I guess, or how do you discern between deducing from your analysis there that there is life beyond Earth versus intelligent life beyond Earth?
So in this context, we are just looking for technological objects that were not produced by humans. And we know what we are capable of producing, and we're trying to look if there is anything else out there beyond the drones, airplanes, balloons, satellites. And of course, the U.S. government is interested, for national security reasons, in what humans produce. Their day job is national security, and my day job is to figure out what lies outside the solar system. So if we find a technological gadget that was not produced here, it would indicate not only that there is life out there, but it's intelligent. And people often regard intelligent life as a speculative notion. They think, oh, yeah, microbes existed on Earth very early. Humans came late in the game. But the point is that it's very difficult to detect clear evidence for microbes. They produce chemical changes in the atmosphere. You can look for the molecules like oxygen, methane, carbon dioxide, and so forth. The problem is that these molecules can also be produced by natural processes that have without any life. So it's not conclusive that the fingerprints are really suggestive, but not conclusive. And in the case of technological signature, if you find, for example, industrial pollution in the atmosphere of another planet, or if you find objects that were manufactured technologically near Earth, then it's a very conclusive piece of evidence as long as we can find it.
And just to be clear, has that piece of evidence been found yet?
Well, no. It's work in progress. You know, right. I haven't seen all the information that the government may have, and some people claim the government has some information that indicates that, but I haven't seen it. So I'm trying to work to lead the Galileo project that is trying to collect the data on its own, because the sky is not classified, the oceans are not classified.
And what is your assessment of the interest in the scientific community right now for the kinds of things that your project is embarking on? Because there has historically been a lot of skepticism around this from scientists, but outside of the scientific community as well. What is your assessment of where things are at with that now?
Well, the beauty of science is that it relies on evidence, not on prejudice, not on opinions, unlike politics.
Very true.
Science, what I'm trying to say is that science is better than politics. but that also means that you need to be courageous to look for the evidence, because many right. people prefer to remain ignorant by not seeking the evidence. Because they want to maintain the status quo, the traditional views. That was true, for example, of continental drift, you know, that was proposed 110 years ago. And at the time, it was ridiculed, and until the evidence became clear about 50 years later.
Right.
And it was also true of meteors in general, you know, that people argue that it's ridiculous to suggest that rocks can fall from the sky. And then in 1803, a meteor shower in Liège, France,
right.
convinced everyone. So anyway, evidence is the key.
Evidence is the key. I'll leave it on that note. Professor Loeb, a real pleasure to have you on our program today. Thank you.